America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
Oh, I am in a good mood today. I am absolutely floating through the air after Indiana beat Michigan State 47-10. If those of you watching on our live stream and I see people coming in, I am wearing the IU hat again. I'm not taking this off until they go all the way, baby. College football playoff. Can you believe it? It is going to be Tuesday where they start talking about the rankings, and I still think that my Indiana Hoosiers will be rated too low, but that's fine. I don't really care. I mean, you just got to keep winning, whatever. I've taken the whole Kurt Cignetti approach, just shrug my shoulders and say, you know, every play, every quarter, every whatever. We're 0-0 going into this Michigan game. It's time to be 1-0 again. Michigan, a 12.5-point dog at home. I mean, who would have thought it? Indiana's a 12.5-point favorite at home against Michigan. It is a lot of fun, I can tell you that. College football is alive and well. I'm going to go through the scoreboard for you here shortly. I loved last night. I was not there. I wish I had been able to be in two places at once, but Craig Berube being honored at Enterprise Center is incredibly special. And I saw the video tribute that the Blues did. It was very cool where they showed his speech before Game 7 in Boston where he's dropping F-bombs. And then they had him up on the board and he looked up and he waved to the crowd and the place roared as they showed a video of him lifting the cup. Just great times. He's always said he'll never be treated better than he was in St. Louis, and that is absolutely true. He is welcome here for a beer anytime he wants, especially at his beloved Hive on Ballas Road at Old Ballas. If you didn't know, that's his spot, the Hive. I wouldn't be surprised if he was at the Hive yesterday at one point grabbing a sandwich and a beer. But good to see him. I was at Kyle McClellan's Brace for Impact 46 Gala. We raised hundreds of thousands of dollars. I was proud to MC that again and serve as auctioneer. And thank you to everyone who showed up at the Four Seasons. They had a record crowd there. And Kyle, the former Cardinal, had so many former Cardinals in the house last night. It was really cool to see everybody. I'm not going to go through the list by memory because I'll miss someone. But, you know, like Cardinals Hall of Famer Ray Lankford was there, among others. I mean, just a really special, special night at the Four Seasons. And my wife and daughter represented us at the Blues game. So they got a victory 4-2 over the Maple Leafs. Steve Chapman's going to join us at 10:45, Blues executive, to talk about that. Katie Shields, they picked up a win yesterday, SLU Women's Soccer. She's with us at 10:30. Coming up at 10:15, Bernie Miklas will be with us to talk about anything and everything, and you never know where our conversation will turn. So Bernie Miklas joins us at 10:15. At 11:05, our old buddy Joe Buck will be with us. He is calling the Monday night game tomorrow, Chiefs and Buccaneers in Kansas City at Arrowhead Stadium. And of course, he's a fellow IU alum, so we may go down that Indiana road as well. And then at 11:30, we will have NFL for you, the Cowboys and the Falcons live from Atlanta right here on KMOX. So a shorter show, but a lot of stuff to pack in. Joining us in studio, we are proud to have some very special guests, Sergeant Butch Crowley of the Lake St. Louis Police Department and his son Chase. They are observing the show today. Chase is going to be, I'll probably be working for him in about 10, 15 years. He's going to be a big, big sports media guy in this town. So I appreciate him being here as well. And we have a lot to get to. Let's run through the top 25. Let's actually do this. Let's separate the contenders from the pretenders in the college football playoff. Oregon is a contender. They are the number one team in the country. Looked at every bit like it, 38-17 over Michigan. Georgia is a contender. Despite what people will say, that Georgia's Carson Beck is a turnover machine or they won't win with him. The quarterback threw three picks, yes, but he threw two touchdowns and he found a way. And the Bulldogs, who struggled with the Gators, found a way to beat Florida 34-20. The mark of a great team is even when you play poorly, you find a way to manage the game and win it. And, oh, Georgia played poorly at Alabama. They fell behind 28-0, then took the lead. They ended up losing that game. It's the only loss on their resume. And I think they are a phenomenal football team that was really sloppy yesterday. They're a contender. They beat Florida 34-20. Ohio State is a contender. They beat Penn State 20-13. They looked great. I love their quarterback. I love their defense. I love everything that they do. And their play caller, Chip Kelly, called a near-perfect game, I thought, offensively and defensively. They are ferocious. Penn State, contender. But the problem that they have is they don't have a great resume. They have a soft schedule the rest of the way, and this was a fail for them. I mean, if they wanted to be considered a Big Ten champion or a big-time college football playoff contender, they needed to win this game. They did not. They are still a contender, though. Penn State will not be pushed around. They're going to be a really good team when it's all said and done. But Ohio State has absolutely jumped them in the conversation. Miami is a contender. They blasted Duke 53-31. As long as Cam Ward's on the field, it doesn't matter how many mistakes Miami makes. It does not matter. I mean, he's the best player in the country, I think. I think it's Cam Ward. I would take him over everybody right now. He's incredible. He threw for 400 yards and five touchdowns. He is a man. I mean, he gets the job done. Love him. Texas was idle, but they're a contender. Good team. Tennessee has moved into contender conversation, but shaky. You know, they beat Kentucky 28-18. They beat Alabama a couple of weeks ago. They need to be very careful. They get off to another slow start, they're going to get beat. I mean, they lost at Arkansas. That's the only loss on their resume. Arkansas got killed by Ole Miss yesterday. So, I mean, Tennessee is a contender, but I am putting them in the Penn State category, I think. Notre Dame was idle. Contender. Their one loss is that bad one to Northern Illinois. But they came back with a very impressive win against Navy. And the rest of their schedule, you know, they beat Texas A&M is a good win for them. Florida State, Virginia, Army, USC. I mean, they should be able to handle those four. But we'll see if Notre Dame wants to remain in the contender category. BYU's undefeated. They were off yesterday. I think they're going to make it to the Big 12 championship game. Then we're going to know what sort of contender they are. But I'll tell you, watch out for this next one. They have to play at Utah, and Utah has lost four in a row. But they were easily a top 25 preseason, probably a top 10. But I'll put BYU in the could-be-a-contender category. A&M is no longer. They are a pretender. They got hammered by South Carolina. Give up way too many big plays. Clemson's out, pretender. They lost yesterday to Louisville. Iowa State, oh, that's a bad loss at home to Texas Tech when you're undefeated and everybody's kind of questioning. And that was my worry about Indiana. As much as I love my alma mater, is if they were to lose in their first true tough road game at Michigan State, I think they're done. I mean, they'd have to go to Ohio State. They've got Michigan coming next week. That's a daunting game against Ohio State. You cannot afford a blemish, and they just came out and ripped Michigan State yesterday. Indiana's a contender, without question. They've beaten everybody by 14-plus points. They have destroyed everybody on what some people believe is a softer schedule. Whatever, they didn't make the schedule. They've killed everyone, and now they're going to play Michigan next week, and they're a 12.5-point favorite. Alabama's idle, but you know, they've put themselves back into contender conversation with their shutout of Missouri. They are 6-2. They have got to get it together. Boise State does have a loss, so that works against them in the contender category, and I think that pretty much takes care of it from there. College football playoff rankings come out. We are going to go to Bernie Miklas next. He is standing by on KMOX.
Bernie Miklas on KMOX is presented by Saliga Heating and Cooling.
Yes, he is. Bernie Miklas joins us live on KMOX. Good morning, Bernie.
What's going on, my friend? Good to be with you again.
Good to be with you. Look at this. I'm watching these comments on our social media channels here. Bill says, I grew up in Indy listening to you. Daniel says, go Hoosiers. Did we just tap into the Indiana fan base, Drew? What's going on here? All these Indiana people are coming in. Oh, I'm wearing an IU hat on the feed. I got you. Yeah. Man, what a time this is, buddy.
You know, listen, that was really impressive, Indiana, because I know people want to think there's always a little thing you're wondering about. Last week is like, okay, their backup quarterback is good, but it's still going to be a test. He's got to fill in one game, and they won convincingly. Then they go to Michigan State yesterday, and they're down, I believe, 10-0 early. And it's like, okay, all right, what kind of response are we going to see? And they just destroyed Michigan State after that. I mean, they're really, really impressive, and I don't see anything flukish about it. I mean, they've been a dominant football team, and the defense doesn't get enough credit. The defense is superb, and that's the thing that, to me, distinguishes Indiana, because we know they can put points up, but that defense is really, really outstanding, and that's the thing probably people did not expect.
I agree with you. 15 tackles for loss is just obscene. I mean, it's just amazing what they were able to do to Michigan State, which is a good football team. I mean, Michigan State took Michigan down to the end the week before. Not a great team, but a good team playing at home, and Indiana looked pretty good. So when the college football playoff rankings come out on Tuesday, I do think Indiana fans will be a little disappointed. They're not going to be as high as they think because Indiana still has not played a ranked team. They are 9-0. It's not their fault, but it's just what it is. I think there still will be doubters until they play Ohio State. They're going to play Michigan next week, though, and they've got to take care of business at home. Amazing to even say that, considering the history between Indiana and Michigan. But they've got a chance to be pretty good. I just ran through contenders, pretenders in the last segment. Who do you think jumps out to you as a legit college football playoff contender at this point, starting with Oregon?
Well, I think they'd be the number one seed right now. I think Georgia, despite not playing, there's been a couple games they haven't played great, and they had a fight to beat Georgia yesterday, but they got it done. Georgia's in there. I think Miami's definitely in there. And as far as the fourth, you can make a case for BYU. You could make a case for some other teams, and this is all going to shake out over time. But I think Tennessee, like if you were going to do a field today, and I don't have matchups or anything, but I think it would be the four I just mentioned. If you were going to go with the other eight, I think Indiana's in there. I think, again, as of today, Tennessee would be in there. Ohio State, of course. Boise State, of course. I think Penn State, even with that terrible loss yesterday, it's still only one loss. They would be in. I think Texas would be in. Notre Dame would be in. Alabama? Probably, but there's a debate about some other teams in there as well. So that would be the 12 I'm looking at, and I could be wrong about Alabama, but we'll see. And I don't know about BYU as one of the top four seeds either.
Yeah, I do feel like in college football it is what have you done for me lately. So if Alabama goes into Baton Rouge next week and puts it on LSU or even comes out of there with a win, that'll change the conversation. People will there's say, here we go.
Yep. There's no doubt about it. And almost all of these teams, and I'm just going to focus briefly on the SEC. You know, you got five teams with one loss. Now, a couple of them, they don't all have the same number of wins. But Georgia, Texas A&M, Tennessee, Texas, and LSU all have one loss. That was a horrendous loss for Texas A&M last night. Outscored 24-0 in the second half and wiped out 44-24. South Carolina is very impressive. But again, a team like Texas A&M can absolutely recover from that. And but then again, they're going to have to play Texas, which is a bitter rivalry game, you know, at the end of the regular season. So Tennessee still has to play Georgia. Georgia also has a tricky game against Ole Miss. LSU's got to play Bama, an improving Florida team. Vandy, don't know about how good Oklahoma is, probably not very good. And as you mentioned, you got Bama with LSU. Oklahoma, I don't know why I mention Oklahoma because no one's impressed with them. But then Alabama's got the Auburn game, and Auburn ain't any good. But it's a rivalry game, and you never know what's going to happen in that one.
Yeah, I mean, I just had someone text me that Purdue looks awful. I assure you that if Indiana has one loss and Purdue is sitting there a 30-point dog or whatever, they will play up to Indiana. They will do whatever they possibly can to spoil Indiana's season in a rivalry game. I promise. I mean, that'll be harder than you think. So, yeah, anything can happen in college football. I am curious your thoughts on what happened to the Cardinals here this past week. So they essentially let six people go. They declined the options on the two starters, Kyle Gibson and Lance Lynn, reliever Keenan Middleton, who never saw the mound, Paul Goldschmidt, Matt Carpenter, and then Andrew Kittredge also technically becomes a free agent. I wonder if they'll try to bring him back. What do you think about those six?
Not surprised by the three pitching moves other than Kittredge, and that's not a surprise, but we'll get to him in a second. Lynn and Gibson, I think that was expected. I'm like everyone else. I still wonder if it still would be possible for Gibson to come back if he takes a half the salary or something like that he got paid last year. Cause they're going to have a lot of young pitchers, and he's a tremendous leader. And he's also a good solid back of the rotation guy. And you know, he wants to be here cause he lives near here. So Gibson, I'm going to leave the door open, you know, with a crack on him, but we have to also assume at least for now, he won't be back. Middleton was an obvious thing. Goldschmidt, that's going to be tough, but listen, he has a say in the matter too, because he'll be 38 years old next August, and he's got limited time. For I think he'd love to latch on with a winning team that has a chance to win a World Series. I wonder if they'll make room for Carpenter. I don't have an opinion on it. I just wonder if they'll do that. I think Kittredge has got to go not because they don't want him back, but I think he'll be a coveted reliever on the free agent market, and I think he stands to make a lot of money. So that's kind of my initial read. I like the fact that we're going to see some young pitchers, starting pitchers, even bullpen guys. They're going to get a full shot next season. I like that. I think that's what this season's going to be about. I'm in favor of it, because if you find out enough of these young pitchers and young hitters are really good, and that they performed in a way that you were hoping they would, then all of a sudden, Tom, your prognosis for 2026 looks a lot different. But you got to find out about these guys. And if they come through, then you can talk about 2026 being a different kind of year, not a rebuilding year, but a year where, hey, you know, we think we can win, and we're not foreclosing on the idea of making the playoffs. So that's why 25 is so important. But they have to establish and reaffirm what they have, and all of these young guys are going to get an opportunity.
Let me throw that trio out to you. Sonny Gray, Wilson Contreras, Nolan Arenado. That's going to tell us a lot where those three are playing in 2025.
Well, that's right. And people have asked me this question a lot. It's like, well, if you were in charge, like, who would you want to trade? The answer would be Arenado, because of his age-related decline, the fact that, frankly, you know, if you're in a rebuild, he ain't going to handle that very well. He's been on a lot of bad teams during his career. Losing affects him. There's a lot of negative energy. You can see it just by the body language. And, you know, you also have a couple of young guys who can play third base. And I would like to see whether Nolan Gorman can be a really good third baseman, or even if Jordan Walker would go back to third base, which is a natural position. So you need to find out about a couple of guys who can play third for you. And you also, if you could offload most of that salary. So I would say that'd be the number one guy I'd like to see traded. But of course, he has a say in the matter too, which is no trade clause. And the other thing too is teams are not going to want to take on all that money for a guy that's had two down years in a row. So that's going to be a tough one to do. I still think there's a chance for Sonny Gray, and I hope so, because I think he's a leader, and I think he's a really good number two starter. The salaries kick in at a much higher level that his final two seasons. So maybe that gives the Cardinals some pause. But if he wants to stay here, I don't think it's like, oh, man, I can't believe they're stuck with Sonny Gray. I'd be fine with that. But it's up to him and it's up to the Cardinals. And Contreras is interesting because I'm a huge fan. I know you are, too. But the thing about Contreras is, let's face it, I mean, unless they want to make him a DH or move him to first base or something like that, they have four legitimately good young catchers. They all have different strengths. Herrera, Pajes, Jimmy Crooks, and Leonardo Bernal. I mean, the two guys I mentioned there at the end, these are legitimately good prospects and exciting in their own way. And so the Cardinals have more catchers than they know what to do with. And so that would make, to me, Contreras an obvious candidate to go. He has a no-trade clause. And then you also have to wonder what the market would be for him and what the return would be.
That's a really good point. And hold this one for tomorrow on the Gas House Gang. And I'm going to tell people about it in just a minute. But we are going to have a show tomorrow in which I'm going to ask all three of you, do you see any scenario in which the Cardinals can contend in the NL Central? Hold that, and that is going to be one of our topics tomorrow on the Gas House Gang. The Gas House Gang is a four-person roundtable on Monday. Then we're going to pair up the rest of the week. Noon, KMOX Sports Twitter and KMOX News Twitter. All of our social media channels will be on it. YouTube, our KMOX YouTube. That is really fun. I will say that Steve Moore, our program director, came up with this idea, and I think that we already, our trial runs on this have been super successful. I'm ready to run with this thing.
I enjoy doing these, and I was a big proponent, as you know, of doing them every weekday and being part of it. And I think it's really good discussion. We don't always agree on things. I think we absolutely tell the truth as far as what we feel about the Cardinals and this and that. I don't think anybody holds back whatsoever. And I just like the level of the discussion. I think it's really intelligent. It's very candid. And it's fun. We have a good time teasing each other as well.
It is. I agree with you. We do have some fun on that. So it is going to be all over the place. If you're looking for sports talk at noon, you will get it every day. And by the way, I've been asked two things. Will it be replayed on KMOX? Yes, it will. Every night at 8 o'clock. The second question is, will it be found in podcast form? The answer to that is yes. On Apple Podcasts, on Odyssey's app, and on our Cardinals Conversation page at KMOX.com. So it's everywhere. We're going absolutely bananas. I can't believe
It's awesome. It really is. A lot of people I know with some of my YouTube videos and all, they don't mind me going 30 minutes or more because they'll listen to the audio version, the podcast version, when they're walking or they're running or they're in the gym or whatever. So I'm just putting that out there for people who hadn't thought about that. You know, you can listen to it podcast version. You don't have to watch it. You can listen to it at your convenience, no matter what you're doing. If you're taking the dog walk or whatever, it's a good way to help kill that time.
100%, it holds up. And I listen to Bernie Miklas's YouTube videos in podcast form on my drives when I'm driving around town. I listen to you in the car, so I appreciate you, man. Well, it's awesome. You got to subscribe to Bernie Miklas's YouTube page. It's an absolute slam dunk. Bernie, thank you so much for this. Appreciate the visits on Sports on a Sunday Morning. We will talk to you tomorrow at noon.
Looking forward to it, Tom. Have a great rest of the weekend, my friend.
You too. It's on the Odyssey app as well, Bernie Miklas's visits and podcast and his YouTube page. It's just all happening here for KMOX. I'm really excited to have Bernie on board. Katie Shields, the SLU women's soccer coach, joins us next on KMOX.
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Billikens win! Billikens win!
Once again, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
Sports on a Sunday morning on KMOX. Welcome back to the show. Tom Ackerman with you. Great segment, last segment with Bernie Miklas, and we are joined now. I always have a good segment with her, and that's the head coach of SLU Women's Soccer, Katie Shields, especially after she wins, and she wins a lot. How are you, Katie? Good morning.
I'm doing well, Tom. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, congratulations on another win. You knocked off Davidson yesterday in the A-10 quarterfinals, so you advanced to the semifinals of the Atlantic 10 tournament. Wednesday, 7 o'clock, taking on St. Joseph's, who beat Fordham.
Correct.
7
yeah.
o'clock start at beautiful Herman Stadium. Let's talk about yesterday's win over Davidson, a 2-0 win. You know what jumps out at me is the fact that you have now recorded 7 consecutive shutouts in A-10 championship play. That is actually amazing.
It is. It's remarkable. You think about all the scoring, and you kind of forget about how good at times our defending has been. So another one last night. They're all important, but yeah, trying to keep that run alive.
You've had a great run in the A-10 championship, 24-5-1 all time in these games. You have an 18-game winning streak going on. Yesterday's game specifically, what happened, what transpired that got you off to where you needed to be? You got the goal from Lucy Schwartz and a game-winning goal as well.
Yeah, it was, you know, it was an interesting matchup because we have not played Davidson since the COVID spring. So two teams that aren't as familiar with each other, just how the A-10 scheduling lands. And so try to come out on our front foot, you know, be our best self at Herman. I think we did that, created some good chances early. And then we've always prided ourselves on being very good on corner kicks, set pieces. And that's how Lucy Schwartz was able to find the back of the net pretty early, about the 9th minute. And that helped us get a hold of the game early.
You did. And then Lindsay Heckel added that penalty kick in the 59th minute, 4th PK of the season for her, 5th goal overall, and a win 2-0 over Davidson. And now what happens today? Do you review the video of that? Do you start looking at St. Joseph's, combination of the two?
Yeah, we're headed in shortly here to watch video from last night. We will do some regeneration recovery with the women that played a lot last night. Some others will get some training in. And then pretty quickly, we'll turn our attention to prepping for St. Joe's.
And what kind of a team do they present? They, as I mentioned, they were able to beat Fordham, a 5-seed over a 4-seed, Katie.
Yeah, they always have some tournament magic to them, it seems. So they'll definitely get our full attention. They've got a really great, experienced goalkeeper. She's a fifth-year senior. She had a great game when we saw them in the regular season. And then they're very committed defensively. They're organized. They're tough to break down. And then they got some pace, and they can get teams in transition on the attacking side. And so we got to be sharp in front of goal. We got to be stout defensively. And again, it's playoff soccer, win or go home. So just trying to keep getting better day to day with this group.
Yeah, you met them exactly a month ago, October 3rd, and tied them 1-1 in a regular season meeting. Katie Shields, the women's soccer coach at SLU, is with us. The other number that jumps out at me is that you outshot Davidson 27-5 overall. Now, shots on goal were 7-2. But 27-5, I mean, that is a big, big difference there. How do you describe your style of play?
We want to be dominating, suffocating, kind of miserable to play against, and, you know, create an abundance of chances. We talked about last night after the game, though. We weren't thrilled. We didn't feel we were as sharp, you know, on 27 shots to only have 2 goals. It was a little disappointing. It was good enough for last night. Will it be good enough for Wednesday? We don't necessarily think so. So, you know, we'll spend some time in front of goal these next few days and continuing to sharpen that piece of the game, because at playoff soccer, those margins become really, really important.
Your record is 12-1-6. And again, you're advancing to the semifinals on Wednesday night against St. Joseph's in the A-10 tournament. Katie Shields, was there a time this year that was particularly disappointing, or where you felt like you bounced back in the best way possible? Was there a lull in the season for you?
I don't know about a lull. You know, I do think we had back-to-back draws, Loyola Chicago, then to St. Joe's early on in the league, and that was disappointing. That wasn't up to our standard. We were dominating in those games and weren't effective at scoring, so you know, I think we learned, we grew, we've gotten a lot better in the last month. Some young women have stepped up, some of our newcomers, And then, you know, we've had every team has adversity in its own ways, and I think we've come out the better side of a collective, you know, adversity that we faced in different ways. So seasons always have winding journeys, and I like where this team has come out on the other side of that.
You've had so many great individual performances. I know this is a team game, but I know that for, in particular, Emily Gaby and what she's been able to do is very special, but you've had some other great individual performances, haven't you?
We have, and you know, Emily Gaby, we actually missed her for a few games down the stretch. She was out pretty ill, and last night was the first game you really felt like she was back. So in that window, even Hannah Larson, we missed, who is a key player for us as well. You know, Hope Kim and our freshman group has really stepped up. And Lucy Schwartz got the game winner last night, and she's been a key cog in the midfield as we've kind of found our groove. So every day you get a different one to step up, and then we're getting tremendous leadership from our back line. Katie Houck in the back has really been a key kind of driver of us as we've gone down this home stretch.
You also have been outstanding at home. And another number to run by is, you know, the fact that right now this season, this team is so good at home, and historically you're really good at home. What is it about the home field and the home atmosphere?
One, I think it's just the environment. You know, the fans absolutely contribute to that, playing in front of a home crowd. Our women take a lot of pride in how incredible of a facility, a stadium, a surface, Terman Stadium is. And I think there's a comfort. Obviously, you're sleeping in your own bed. You're very familiar to how the ball bounces and rolls out there. But it's always been a mission of ours, a goal of ours, season to season, to be dominant at home. And this season, actually, we have a better record on the road. But going into the postseason, it definitely is a bonus to host.
That's an interesting point. I was going to note that as well. And then historically, over the last 96 games at Herman Stadium, 76-9-11 with 61 shutouts during that stretch. Again, Wednesday, 7 p.m., it's SLU against St. Joseph's in the A-10 semifinals. Before we go, I want to throw a basketball question at you real quick and just ask, what has the hype been since we're going to broadcast the game tomorrow, SLU taking on Santa Clara at 2 o'clock? What has it been like around campus with Josh Schertz and this new-look basketball team? What's the buzz around there?
I think there's just a tremendous amount of excitement and just, you know, looking forward to seeing how this group comes together. You know, on a personal level, Josh has been an incredible addition to the department. He's gone out of his way to come out to our training sessions, talk with our women. He confide, you know, we talk, him and I connect quite a bit. And I would say after we won the regular season championship, I got probably the most meaningful text from Coach Schertz, just congratulating us and really being thoughtful in how he did that. So he doesn't have a bigger fan in the department than me, and just excited to see his group come together and keep learning from him, because he's a master coach that we have, and I'm very happy he's in SLU Blue.
Yeah, he's really something behind the scenes. People just rave about him as a human being. And then, of course, Rebecca Tillett, who you're very close with, and they'll be playing on Monday as well. Now, the men are going to be in South Dakota playing in this classic in Sioux Falls. The women are going to be not far away in Vermilion. They're going to be playing South Dakota at 5:30 on Monday. And Rebecca was 2-0 in the exhibition season. She's got herself a team.
She does. And again, another, you know, pretty loyal friend in the department, and coaches really show up for each other, maybe in some of your tougher moments. And so Rebecca's been fantastic this year, you know, through maybe some of our disappointing draws, touching base, reaching out, going on walks. And we just chat about coaching and how you manage teams through the highs and the lows. And so excited to see her kick off with this campaign. She's got a great collection of veterans, some newcomers, and she set the bar pretty high for her program, and I'm excited to see what this next group does in year three for her.
Yeah, a lot of success over there on the campus of SLU, and it's good to see that synergy between coaches. Katie Shields, all the best to you Wednesday at 7 p.m. as you continue on in the A-10 tournament at home. We appreciate you.
Thanks so much, Tom. Go Bills.
Katie Shields with us on KMOX. When we come back, we'll talk about the Blues with Blues executive Steve Chapman right here, Sports on a Sunday Morning on KMOX.
Great night last night at Enterprise Center as the Blues beat the Toronto Maple Leafs. Final score was 4-2, and we are joined by Executive Vice President, Chief Operating and Financial Officer of the St. Louis Blues, Steve Chapman. It is great to have you back on KMOX. Chappie, how you doing?
I'm good, Tommy. Great to hear you, man. How are you?
I am doing great. What a win for the Blues yesterday. It comes at a cost as they lose Philip Broberg for who knows how long. Let me start with that, actually. And again, this is Steve Chapman, Executive Vice President, Chief Revenue and Marketing Officer. He is not the coach or the GM or anything like that, so we're not asking for an injury report necessarily, but just your feelings watching Broberg go down. Boy, I hope that's not for long.
Well, you hate to see any time, right? Especially when it's lower body like that, because you just don't know. But I tell you what, he has been as advertised, and you got to tip your cap to Army and our entire hockey operations department, because that has been an incredible pickup for the team. And you know, to your point, we'll see. We'll find out what our medical crew comes back with on information, but we just hope he's back soon.
We know this. Everybody in that building loves Chief. And I know that Chief lost his job last year, but it happens in this business. And he is now the head coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs, but his heart will always be here. And you could see it last night, couldn't you?
Yeah, well, I mean, you said everybody in the building. Everybody in St. Louis loves Chief, including yours truly. I mean, just a first of all, we're all indebted to leading the Blues to a Stanley Cup. And but beyond that, he's just genuinely a wonderful human being, and down to earth, salt of the earth. The kind of guy you walk into Olby Clark's or something and just he's sitting there having a beer with the regulars. And he's just one of those people that you just smile when you think of him. So it was great to see him get the ovation that he got last night. It was well deserved. Certainly was not surprising at all. You could tell that it hit him in the feels, as they say. And it was great to see him back. But you know, at the same time, he's the head coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs, and we're 2-0 against them. And so it seems like we've had some inspired play as well.
Yeah, I would agree with that. A 5-1 win up there, a 4-2 win last night, and maybe the people at the Hive there at Ballas and Old Ballas saw Craig Berube walk through the door. That's his spot, along with Obie Clark. Steve Chapman is with us, and this is a great time to go see the Blues, a 5-game homestand. After you vote on Tuesday, you can go see the Blues take on the Lightning. You got some seats available there.
We do. Yeah. Tuesday night against the Lightning. And like you said, the Blues are back in town for the next week or so. So battling through some injuries, but we've got some young guys that are playing hard. And, Tommy, a hockey season, it's a marathon. And you just try to – you don't get too high, don't get too low, and just keep working to get better. And hopefully we'll see that over the next week. But a good start for sure.
You have Country Music Night on November 7th as you'll take on the Utah Hockey Club. How are they enjoying the team in Utah from your estimation?
Well, it's gotten off to a great start. And first of all, a great ownership group there, the Smiths that also own the Utah Jazz. And, you know, it's an interesting building because it was not originally built to hold ice. And so right now they have a number of limited seats. I think they've only got about 11 or 12,000 seats that actually have a full view of the ice, but they're packing the place. And Arizona's been, you know, up and coming for a while, but they do have a lot of good young talent, obviously led by Clayton Keller. But if anybody goes out to Salt Lake to hit Park City to go skiing or hiking during the summer, it's a great city, and it's developing, and a lot of people are moving there. And so I think it will be very successful, and look forward to having them in the league.
You'll have a kids themed night November 9th against Washington in honor of Louis's birthday, and then Veterans Day on the 12th against Boston. It is military night at Enterprise Center, a great building to go see high quality NHL action. It's always fun when these teams come into town and the Blues fans pack the place. And speaking of that, you're going to have a lot of people coming in for the Frozen Four. Now, my understanding is the tickets actually go on sale tomorrow morning. Is that right? Now, those are going to be gobbled up, aren't they, by possible contenders?
Well, no, you're right. I mean, it's first of all, it's very limited ticketing that is that remains available because there's a number of pre-sales that go on within the NCAA, and then there's some pre-sales that go on with Blues season ticket holders and so on and so forth. But there are some tickets that will go on sale tomorrow morning. If you're interested in the Frozen Four, which let me just talk about that for a second, Tom, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
I think it's one of the greatest NCAA championship events that I've ever been to. You know, you go to it, and there's about 9 or 10,000 fans who show up every year, and they don't even have a team playing in the championship, right? They're there representing their schools, wearing their sweaters, and they'll inevitably pick somebody to root for, but they just go to every single championship every year wherever it's at. And it's kind of a close-knit group. They all know each other or are familiar with each other. They're familiar with the event. And then the rest of the arena is, you know, generally filled with the local hockey fans and the fans of the competing schools. And you see some great hockey. The atmosphere is unbelievable. I've had the pleasure over the last few years to attend probably 7 or 8 of these things. And it's really something else. So if you can find tickets, I strongly encourage people to do it. It's just a great atmosphere and a great event.
I am with you on that. I went to the 2007 Frozen Four that was won by Michigan State. They beat Boston College. North Dakota and Maine were in that. That was at Enterprise Center, and it was an absolute blast. I mean, every second of it was a lot of fun. And they set attendance records back then in 2007. So I'd get to NCAAtickets.com immediately tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock for the sale to the general public. You just never know what we'll see too. I mean, we might get one of our first round picks in there. It's possible.
Well, you're absolutely right. I mean, you know, if Minnesota makes it to the Final Four, which I would say there's definitely a strong chance that they could, you might see a future St. Louis Blue playing. So that's exactly right. But it's a great event, and it's just a lot of fun to watch. And anyway, like you said, you saw it back in 2007. St. Louis always shows up for, you know, these big events, whether it's been our Winter Classic, whether it's been the All-Star Game. I mean, obviously they showed up for the Stanley Cup, but it's a great town that supports its sports and its teams, and we're really looking forward to it.
Looking forward to it as well. And looking forward to this. This has kind of snuck up on us now, which is the Winter Classic. The Blues will be taking on the Blackhawks at Wrigley Field. You heading up there, Chappie?
We will be up there, yeah. Really quite an honor for the Blues, Tom, if you think about it. I remember in 2017, we had to do a lot of lobbying to convince the National Hockey League to bring the Winter Classic to a Midwestern town. And, you know, really for the most part, it was either in a Buffalo or something like that, but it was also, it was always Boston, Chicago, New York. And I remember vividly, like they had actually recommended that we probably not do an alumni game because it would be tough to sell out 2 games. And we were like, yeah, you don't know St. Louis. And so sure enough, sold out, packed alumni game, and, you know, obviously packed the Winter Classic. But since that time, I think the response that they saw from, you know, the fans of St. Louis, the fans of the Blues, obviously got us to an invite into Minnesota. That was an unbelievable event, probably the coldest, event I've ever been to in my life. I think it was minus 14 when we walked into Target that afternoon. And this year we get invited to play the Blackhawks in Chicago. So it's a testament to the St. Louis Blues. It's a testament to the St. Louis Blues fan base. It'll be an unbelievable experience to play this game in Wrigley Field. Should be a lot of fun.
Tickets are hard to come by, but scan those secondary markets and see what you can find from the Blues Blackhawks at Winter Classic. Just a reminder that the Blues do support Amendment 2 to legalize sports betting. In our final 60 seconds, Steve Chapman, why are the Blues joining other sports teams in that support?
You know, I'm gonna make this really simple from a logical standpoint, because everybody has their own personal views and don't want to really get into anything along those lines. It's really simple from this standpoint. Right now, tens of million dollars are flowing out of the state of Missouri and the surrounding states. Tens of millions of dollars. Right now, tens of millions of dollars are being wagered illegally within the state. So do you want this money taxed and you want it to go to a good cause and you want it to be regulated? That's really, I think, one of the main things. The second thing is obviously the ability to keep revenue within the state, to keep revenue to go to education and those sorts of things. We believe in it because obviously we know that it creates activation and the fans, we know just from our polling that our fans want it. But I just think at the end of the day, we can either keep money within the state of Missouri or we can send it outside the state of Missouri. And I hate to boil it down to something that simple, but I think it comes down to that. And so we support it for a lot of reasons, but I think that's a main one.
No, I understand. To hear that loud and clear, Steve Chapman, Executive Vice President, Chief Revenue and Marketing Officer for the St. Louis Blues. Thanks as always. Have a great rest of your Sunday.
Tommy, thanks. Hey, congrats on your Hoosiers, man.
Oh, man. It is a dream. You know that. I appreciate you. Thank you.
Our brother.
Fellow Hoosier Joe Buck will be joining us here in just about 10 minutes, right after the 11 o'clock news. You're listening to Sports on a Sunday Morning on KMOX.
This is the Graybar Sports on a Sunday Morning.
Goldschmidt swings and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Billiken win! Billiken win!
Now from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
Welcome back to the show. Great to hear from Scott Jagow there. Our producer is Drew Young, and we have a crowded studio today. We have Sergeant Butch Crowley, Lake St. Louis Police Department. It's an honor to have you here. His son, Chase Crowley, is here, 15 years old, and wants to be a sportscaster. Joining us is one of the most accomplished sportscasters in the history of television, and that is KMOX alum Joe Buck. Joe, do you remember when you were 15 and an aspiring sportscaster?
Yes, I had been working for 11 years with the Cardinals at that point.
Yes, you had. You absolutely had. What was that like back then?
Getting picked up from school by my mommy and then going down and doing Cardinal games. It was a fun time. Yeah. It makes me, when you said that and you introduced the two of them, it was like my dad's line that he used to always use on young people that would come up to him and ask him, you know, what do I need to do to get into broadcasting? And he would look at me and say, start with a famous dad. And, we're not all that lucky. I was, and I've tried to take as much advantage of it as I could.
Well, you had such a special father and somebody who was able to show you that. And I think that's important, is that we show these kids what it's like behind the scenes and let them grow into it. I've heard you say this on several podcasts and shows, that when people introduce you with all of your accomplishments, and it should be reminded, I mean, what you've done is incredible, that sometimes you're a little embarrassed by it. Like, you still think of yourself as that young Joe, you know, just trying to sort of find his way. I think that's natural. I feel that way sometimes. I'll bet you that the best of the best would, if they let their guard down, would tell you that sometimes they still think of themselves as that young sportscaster.
Yeah, I would like to think so. I think it's one of the great advantages of being my dad's son for me is to, you know, it always felt kind of natural to slide over one seat because of the care that my dad took to really introduce the profession to me and show me all the great things that it brought to his life. And, you know, I was a kid just trailing around after him. And of course I wanted to be him. Of course I wanted to do what made him, even at his sickest, get up off the couch and go down to be around the players at 3:30 in the afternoon and get ready for a 7 o'clock broadcast. But yeah, I mean, I'm 55. I still think of myself as a 25-year-old guy. And I just got off the phone with Todd Bowles and Baker Mayfield and Liam Cohen, who's the offensive coordinator for the Tampa Bay Bucks. And I still think of myself as younger than all those people, and I'm not. But it's just the way that internal dialogue goes. And eventually, you know, I guess when I'm finished with all this, I'll sit back and think about all the stuff that I've been lucky enough to get to do. But until then, I'm just going to keep operating as I guess in my mind, Jack Buck's son and somebody who's lucky to get to head to Kansas City and do a Monday night game tomorrow night.
Well, it keeps you humble and honest and young. And I see, Chase, see what I was saying back in the office, how it moves by fast? It does. I mean, the years will fly by. I'll tell you this, Joe. Last Saturday, when I was sitting there in the grass lot across from Memorial Stadium with my fraternity brothers with a beer in my hand in the morning and the stadium rocking with game day on the other side, I felt like I was 21. I mean, I was in absolute heaven last week, and then Indiana goes out and drills Washington, and then our alma mater did it again, Joe. They go up to Michigan State, toughest challenge probably that they've had so far, and just put it on the Spartans, 47 consecutive points. I don't even know what to say anymore except I have a permanent smile on my face.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if people are tired of me and Troy talking about IU football on Monday night, I don't care. I mean, I'm so sick of hearing from the Notre Dame fans and the USC fans and the Michigan fans and, you know, right on down the line, LSU, Alabama, Georgia. I mean, every year I'm so sick of the same teams over and over and over again. And finally, I mean, I got there in 87. I got there the semester after the basketball team won the national championship. And the football team was pretty good back then. I mean, Trent Green was the quarterback, Anthony Thompson, a good running back. Bill Mallory was the head coach. But there still really wasn't anything to get that excited about nationally. And now to see not only are they 9-0, but, I mean, they're legit. All three phases of the game, outstanding. Their defense is really good. Their special teams are good. And then the offense, it was impressive yesterday at Michigan State. And I'll be there next week. You got to be there for the Washington game. I get to be there for the Michigan game. And I'm going to be sitting there with my fraternity brothers, probably having a beer in the morning and getting ready for a big 3:30 tilt against Michigan. And I think they opened up at a 12.5-point favorite, yeah. Which, I mean, for those of us who have been long suffering, is just kind of hard to imagine.
Yeah, people have to understand that Nebraska is one thing, and that was awesome. And Washington, another big national brand, is another great win. But there is something very different about Michigan being there and seeing that uniform and the fact that they've handed it to IU through the years. That place, Joe, you will not believe it. I mean, it is beyond what you're even thinking right now. It will be loud and boisterous, and those fans have been waiting a long, long time. You know, Kurt Cignet, you, like, for a living, you sit in with coaches in these production meetings. Would I do anything to be in a production meeting with Kurt Cignetti to pick his brain?
He came into our production meeting about 3 weeks ago. Our producer, Steve Ackle, set it up, and he was like a special surprise guest on a Zoom call during our production meeting on a Monday. I'm trying to think of where we were, but it was about 3 weeks ago. And, I mean, very serious, but able to have a little bit of fun. And, you know, I'm with you. I think he's no nonsense. I've never seen a head coach on a sideline stand the way he stands. Pay attention to it. He's got kind of that look on his face, but he stands with his hands on his hips, with his fingers kind of down, his elbows bent, and he's just got this pose on the sideline. And I know those players know that they don't mess with the guy. And when he came there and he said whatever the exact quote, I don't know, but like, I win, Google me.
That was it.
We talked to him about it, and he said, you know, I had to right out of the gate kind of just say this is going to be different than it's been, and I'm not going to go in and soft pedal this thing. We're going to be confident. You can tell they're well coached. It's why Aikman loves them. I mean, he's such a stickler for the way guys come off the ball, receivers, and they're very well coached. So, yeah, I can't wait. I mean, I can't wait to watch that game next weekend, to be there and enjoy it, and then get a 5 a.m. pickup from the hotel and head to Indianapolis to fly to Los Angeles to do a Monday Night Football game, it'll be well worth the headache I'll fly with to L.A.
Yes, it will. That is a dedicated IU fan. I love that. And I will be at the Mizzou, Oklahoma game. So they're going to be like, hey, where did Dad go? I'm like trying to find TVs at the tailgate to watch IU Michigan. That's what I'm going to be
doing. Exactly.
Yeah, no doubt. Exactly. And I love that CBS crew. You know, I love really those crews that have been together for a while where you have Brad Nessler, Gary Danielson, Jenny Dell on the sidelines. There's like a comfort and a familiarity with those voices, and you know that it's a big game. I do feel that way. I'm going to embarrass you here for a little bit, but I feel that way with you and Troy. Like when you and Troy are on a game, you have such good chemistry. I know that it's not only a big game, but I feel comfortable. There's a comfort in hearing your voices together. It's something to have on in the house and have the game on. Do you hear that from people? The fact that the two of you have been together for so long, and do you feel that in the booth?
Yeah, I mean, 23 years together will do that. And we've been lucky to not mess it up before we hit the air on Monday night. Who knows then? But yeah, I think people can hear a true friendship that comes over the air. He knows that he can joke with me and vice versa, and we're there for each other and trying to pick each other up. So it's a good feeling. And, you know, that's the way for people my age, if it is true, that I certainly felt with Summerall and Madden. And I feel that way whenever I hear Al do a game. It's just like a comforting, you know, this is a game that I should be watching and listening to. And I think that just comes over time. So whether it's, you know, Tom Brady starting out this year and him settling in, or, you know, whatever the case may be, I think that's what ESPN was buying when they got us to come from Fox. And I'm glad it holds true at a new network.
That place will be revved up tomorrow. You know that you know this. They have not played a home game at Arrowhead Stadium in about a month. The Chiefs will finally be at home taking on Tampa Bay. The Chiefs are 7-0. How have they done this, Joe, from your observation?
Two guys, Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. And when we talked to Andy, he said that, you know, the great play callers, and he's one of them. I think in today's game, the other, there'd be two more, be Kyle Shanahan and Sean Payton. I think while they'd love to have all their guys healthy, and Andy would love to have Hollywood Brown, and he would love to have Isaiah Pacheco, and he would love to have Rashee Rice, and now they've lost another tight end during practice this week, that while they would love to have all those guys healthy, I think they like the challenge of trying to find new ways to win and put responsibility on new players that nobody expected to be heavily involved when the season started. So, you know, I'm just looking at my board right now, and yeah, Kelsey's coming off his best game, but Noah Gray always steps up. They added DeAndre Hopkins. They brought Kareem Hunt back. You know, they just find a way. And at the end of the day, and at the end of every play, when it breaks down, Mahomes is just spinning around in circles and, you know, throwing sidearm or underhand or whatever it is to get the ball forward to get a big first down, and they just keep winning. And I think the other side of it is they're winning with defense. And Steve Spagnuolo, you know, our friend from his days as the head coach here in St. Louis with the Rams, has been amazing. I think you could make the case that he's a Hall of Fame assistant. Having won four Lombardi trophies as an assistant coach, I think he's just been phenomenal. And so however it has to get done, it's getting done. I was surprised this is the first time Patrick Mahomes has been 7-0. Yeah, they will give Tampa Bay obviously all they can handle tomorrow night.
Yeah, it should be an interesting one for sure. We will have it for you on the KMOX side. The radio crew will be right here, our Chiefs crew with Mitch Holtis, Dane and Hughes. Joe Buck will call it with Troy Aikman on the ESPN Disney family of networks on Monday Night Football. So good at what you do. And are you anything else going on in your world outside of Monday Night Football? Are you narrow focused on Monday Night Football at this point, Joe?
Yeah, that's it. That's all with twin 6-year-olds that this 55-year-old has the capability of covering anymore.
Well, you're great at it, and I know you're a great dad, and I appreciate you, and thank you as always for coming on your radio station, KMOX. We love you, Joe, and thank you for the time.
Absolutely. Anytime, Tom.
Go Hoosiers.
Go IU.
Go Hoosiers.
Go IU.
Let's go. Joe Buck with us on KMOX. We're going to take a break. When we come back, NFL picks. And then we get you to Cowboys-Falcons, 11:30 pregame right here on KMOX.
And a key block by the left guard, Tom Ackerman. And right here, let's go downstairs to Bonnie.
Marv, if you remember that big run Robert Holcomb had on the first drive, one of the guys responsible on help busting him loose was Tom Ackerman.
Tom Ackerman up front, and this is a unit that has played very well. A good night for Eddie George. 21 carries, 74 yards. The left guard, Tom Ackerman, with the block that set him free. It's a first down.
Boy, I was just shoving people out of the way, man. No, of course, that is the former offensive lineman with the Saints and the Titans, Tom Ackerman, my namesake, from Eastern Washington. I am the broadcaster, and I have some NFL picks for you in our next 5 minutes before we take you to Cowboys-Falcons. Did you know that in our last two visits together on these Sundays, if you followed my picks, you did very, very well against the spread? I went 10-2-1 3 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, I went 10-3 against the spread with these picks. Now, last week, oddly enough, when I was off and Joe Pott was doing the show, I did the picks on my own. I didn't broadcast them, but I did them while I was in Indiana, and I went 6-7. So it happens, but I didn't give you those picks, so you did not suffer. And 6-7 is not terrible. I mean, you would have basically broken even had you bet them all. I don't know why you would do that. But anyway, here we go. Let's do these. And I've been on a tear here. Let's start with today's game on KMOX, Dallas and Atlanta. The Cowboys are terrible. I'll just put it out there. They have real problems. The Falcons are -3 in this first game of the day. Something tells me that the Cowboys are going to show up for this game. I have this feeling that as bad as they are, and they got absolutely routed by Detroit, but they played okay against San Francisco last week. They lost 30-24. I don't know why I'm doing this, but I'm going to take them +3 at Atlanta. Today on KMOX, a desperate Dallas Cowboys team at 3-4. Maybe it's because I don't totally believe in the Atlanta Falcons just yet. Atlanta's good. Don't get me wrong. They've won 4 of 5. And one at Tampa Bay last week, 31-26. But Tampa Bay is all banged up, and they hung in the game against Atlanta. I don't know. Anyway, that's the KMOX game that's coming up here at 11:30 pregame, Dallas and Atlanta. I got the Cowboys +3. Miami at Buffalo, this one is a slam dunk. Take it to the bank. The Bills -6. I don't see any other way around it. The Bills are awesome, and the Dolphins are struggling. And I don't see how this thing is only 6. I don't know what I'm missing, but I got Buffalo -6 all day long. In fact, if I were playing a lock of the week pool, I'd take Buffalo. That's how much I believe in it. Las Vegas at Cincinnati. Now, I had Cincinnati going to the Super Bowl, and they're 3-5. Desperate team, desperate measures. Spread is big. 8. Hate it. Hate it. But I'm going to take it anyway. Bengals -8 at home against the Raiders. Chargers at Cleveland. Cleveland with a nice win last week, upending the Baltimore Ravens, 29-24. They take on a pretty good Chargers team and taking them on at home. And to my surprise, they are a dog at home against the Chargers. Give me Browns +1.5. I'm good with that. New England at Tennessee. The Patriots surprised, maybe some would say, the Jets. I just don't believe in the Jets, but the Patriots had lost 6 in a row before beating the Jets last week. They get up for that Jets game all the time. They're 3.5-point dogs at Tennessee today. Woof. I'll ride the momentum. Give me Patriots +3.5 on the road. Don't love the Titans. Washington at the Giants. I'll take the Commanders -4. I really, really like this Washington team. They're 6-2. They'll keep it rolling. New Orleans at Carolina. Carolina's brutal. So is New Orleans. Give me Carolina plus 7 at home. As bad as they are, they'll make a game out of it, won't they? Denver at Baltimore. Boy, I feel sorry for the Broncos. Ravens are going to take it out on them. I'll take the Ravens minus 9, even with 9 points. I like the Ravens minus 9. Chicago at Arizona. Oh, the Bears got kicked in the gut on that Hail Mary by Jaden Daniels. They are a 1.5-point dog at Arizona. I'm going to go with the Cardinals minus 1.5 at home. Jacksonville at Philadelphia. Give me the Eagles minus 7.5. Detroit at Green Bay. Did you know that this is the first game of the season for the Lions outdoors? They've played every game this season inside. And not for that reason, but I got a sneaking suspicion that they're going to fall at some point. As good as they are, and they're the best team in the NFC, I think the Packers are going to be ready for them. This is a big divisional game. Packers are 6-2. They are no slouch. And I like them plus 2.5 at home against the Lions today. Rams at Seattle. Rams a little banged up at receiver, but it's still a nice team. Give me Seahawks plus 1, though. Indianapolis at Minnesota. I love the Vikings here. Vikings minus 5.5. They will bounce back. And then Monday Night Football, Chiefs minus 9 all day long against the Bucks. This is KMOX.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.